We're going to begin lesson number 19 in our course on the book of Zechariah. Lesson 19 will cover the last chapter, Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to be looking at three main points in lesson 19. Number one, we'll see the last siege of Jerusalem in verses 1 through 3 of Zechariah 14. Then we'll discuss the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in verses 4 through 7 of Zechariah 14. And then we'll look at point number 3, the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, in verses 8 through 11 of Zechariah chapter 14. Alrighty, first of all, as a bit of an introduction, chapter 12 and 13 have presented to us a vivid prophetical view of the future deliverance in national conversion of Israel. These two chapters prepare us for the events found in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 11, the last siege of Jerusalem, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the establishment of the messianic millennial kingdom. Alrighty, let's look at Zechariah chapter 14 as we begin. And we'll begin in verse number 1 of Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. The day of the Lord. We want to look at the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that period immediately preceding the second coming of Christ, when God directly and publicly manifests his power to dispossess Satan and wicked men from their earthly authority, delivers Israel, and establishes his kingdom of righteousness throughout the world. That is that prophetic period embracing the final phase of Israel's chastisement, followed by her salvation in deliverance at the coming of Messiah, extending throughout the subsequent period of kingdom peace called millennium. Now let's look at some verses of Scripture that talk about this. Let's turn first to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 with me. In Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 10 and reading down through verse 22. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And of course, that's not happening right now in time, but in future time, the proud, those with the lofty look, are going to be humbled, amen. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And of course, we know those that are lifted up are children of the king of pride, Satan, because that's why Satan fell, because of the sin of pride. He was lifted up. He wanted to be like God. Verse 13 of Isaiah chapter 2, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced city, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pitchers. See, no one's going to escape from the day of the Lord when he returns, amen, and puts down the proud and those that are lifted up. Verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Right now, in the present time, the Lord is not being exalted, is he? Man is. But the day is coming soon when the Lord will be the only one that will be exalted. In the idols, he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? An entirely different picture of what's going on today, amen. Man, the prideful, Satan and those that are over him, or he is over them, shall be made low. We also read, look with me if you would, in Malachi chapter 4. Again, another passage of scripture that talks about the day of the Lord. Malachi in chapter number 4. We'll look at the whole chapter. For behold, the day cometh. Again, it's talking about the day of the Lord. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven in all the proud. Here we have the proud mentioned again. Yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun. And we see in the Word of God, the King James Bible, sun, the S is capitalized, shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And of course that sun, S-U-N, is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So Israel is going to actually, as God says, is going to walk on their enemies. Their enemies are going to be burnt to a crisp, turned to ashes, amen. Verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And of course we'll see Elijah return during the tribulation is as one of the two witnesses along what I believe with Moses. Elijah and Moses will be the two witnesses that are spoken about in Revelations chapter 11. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here we have the last word of the Old Testament is curse. The Old Testament here ends with a curse. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and hung on that tree at Calvary to remove the curse of the law, that all that would call upon his name for the forgiveness of sins would have that curse removed. Again, let's look in Revelations chapter 19, again, as we're looking at scripture that cover this period, the day of the Lord. Revelations 19 with me. Revelations chapter 19. Revelations 19 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, amen. I hope it's yours, because it talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelations 19, beginning in verse 11. John the Apostle, what a blessing. He says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now look at verse 12, the description of this figure on the horse. "His eyes were as a flame of fire," no ordinary man, "and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Of course, it's describing the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen." And of course, who's coming with the Lord Jesus Christ on white horses are going to follow him is the body of Christ. All of those who have believed on Christ for salvation, to be saved from the day of Pentecost until the rapture of the church. Verse 15, "And out of his mouth," that's the Lord's mouth they're talking about, "goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And of course, as we read on in verse 17, as we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh." This is the food for this great supper, for these fowls of the air. "That ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men." Remember, we've been reading how the proud, how those that have a lofty look are going to be brought low by the Lord. "The flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." And of course, the beast is the Antichrist. "And the beast was taken," that's the Antichrist, "and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." So we see that the Antichrist and the false prophet end up for time and eternity in a literal lake of fire that burneth forever with brimstone. And unfortunately, this is the fate for those who will reject Christ. They'll end up here in this lake of fire with the beast, the Antichrist, a false prophet, and Satan himself. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And again, we're talking about the day of the Lord. Look at also in Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1 with me. The prophet Joel. In Joel chapter 1, in verse 15, the Bible declares, "Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction for the mighty shall it come." Also in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound her alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Look at Amos chapter 5, verse 18. "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light." It's a day of darkness. Look at also, finally, in Zephaniah. In Zephaniah chapter 1, in verse number 7, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests." Again, we're looking at the last siege of Jerusalem, and we've just looked at some verses that describe the day of the Lord. Now, also, second of all, we want to look at the enemy triumphant. Verse 2 in Zechariah 14. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." We see there in verse 2, "I will gather," it says. God not only allows a siege of Jerusalem, he directs the confrontation. Let's look at some scripture, that other verses that speak about this. Look at going to Joel again, chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 with me. In Joel chapter 3, in verse number 2, Joel 3, verse 2, "I will gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Looking in verse 12, "Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen around about." Verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Jehoshaphat, they're all going to gather there against Israel. Let me give you some other references that speak about that. Zephaniah 3:8 and Revelation 16, verses 14 through 16. The results of the battle are fourfold. Number one, the city is taken. Number two, the house is plundered. Number three, the women ravished. Number four, half the inhabitants become prisoners of war. Now, the third thing we want to look at under the last siege of Jerusalem is the deliverer of the remnant. Let's turn back to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 3. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations when he fought in the day of battle." the greatest outburst of anti-Semitism the world has ever seen will trigger the events of verses 1 and 2. This time the Lord himself will go forth into battle to fight on behalf of his people, Israel. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 tells us that the Lord is a man of war. Let's compare this with some other verses. For example, in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah chapter 26, in verse number 21. Isaiah 26, verse number 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Let's look in Micah. The prophet Micah with me. In Micah chapter number 1. Micah chapter number 1. In verses 3 and 4. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft, as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. And of course, we just read earlier that great passage in Revelations chapter 19 and verses 11, 16, how the Lord is going to come on a white horse. And there's going to go a sword that's going to proceed out of his mouth. We're going to see that his vesture is dipped in blood. And that's written on his thigh is the name Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Then we also read in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 24, and of course Matthew 24 is the context is the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. We read in Matthew 24 in verses 27 and 28, for as the Jesus is speaking now, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then previously in chapter 12 of Zechariah, we read in verses 6 through 8, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people around about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Continuing on now in lesson 19, let's take up now the second main point, the second coming of Jesus Christ, Messiah, in Zechariah 14, verses 4 to 7. Let's first of all, under that, look at the place of the Advent in Zechariah 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand at that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The place where Jesus Christ is going to set foot again is on the Mount of Olives. And we see this time and time again. Let me give you some verses of Scripture to look up. Matthew 21, 1. Matthew 24, 3. Matthew 26, 30. Ezekiel 11, 23. The Mount of Olives is so dominant and such close proximity to Jerusalem that it is well known to all its inhabitants, being clearly visible to every eye. And of course, we know that's where Jesus was when he went up, when he spoke to the disciples in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, chapter 24 of Matthew, we remember it says that Matthew 24 and verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" We also know that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane there. Or before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, we see as they partake as what we know as the Last Supper, we see that in verse 30 of Matthew 26, "And when they had sung a hymn after the supper, they went out into Mount of Olives." It is interesting to note that it is from this mountain that the glory of God departed, and we see that in Acts 1:9. And we'll return to Jerusalem in Acts 1:11. The glory of God of Israel, Ezekiel 11:22, also called the glory of the Lord, left Jerusalem by the east previous to the Babylonian captivity in 586 B.C. In the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, Ezekiel 11:23, and from the east, the same glorious symbol of the divine presence of God is seen to return, Ezekiel 43:2, marking the termination of the times of the Gentile. We remember what those two that were dressed in white apparel said to the disciples as they looked up after Jesus had ascended into heaven. They said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." What's the result of the advent? Let's look at the result of the advent. Verse number 4 again of Zechariah 14. In the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. The return of the Messiah precipitates gigantic earthquakes as means of venting his wrath upon the sinners of the earth. Look at in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 again with me. Matthew 24 and verse number 7. "For the nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." We also read in Nahum. Let's turn to Nahum for a moment. Nahum 1. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum 1 verse 5. "The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein." Let me give you some other verses that also speak of this, of these great earthquakes and these cataclysmic events. Micah 1 4, Habakkuk 3 verse 6 and 10, and Psalm 18 verse 7. Then we see the purpose of the Advent, the purpose of the Advent, in Zechariah 14, verse 5. And ye shall flee. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Ye shall flee. Looking in Revelations chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, we see that the remnant will flee where? Into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. Let's look in, again, Revelations chapter 12 with me. Revelations chapter number 12, in verses 1 through 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And of course, the Roman Catholics teach this as being Mary, and of course you go into some of these Catholic bookstores, amen, and you'll have this picture of Mary as it is described here, this woman in heaven, clothed with the sun and the moon upon her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, and of course what it is a description of Israel. But she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, the great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he drew, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. These are fallen angels. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And we know that Jesus came from the nation of Israel. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled where? Into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So again, Israel is going back into the wilderness, and the Lord will feed them just as he did during the Exodus. Let's look at also some other scripture here. Jeremiah 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31 with me. In Jeremiah chapter 31 in verse number 2. Jeremiah 31, 2. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Again, it's talking about how the children of Israel are going to go back into the wilderness during the tribulation, and God will take care of them and feed them there. Look in Matthew chapter 24 with me. Matthew 24 and verse number 20. The Bible declares, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And of course, it's talking about when they are to flee, amen. That it be not in winter, because winter during over there in that particular time was a difficult time, amen. And not on the Sabbath, because we know on the Sabbath they're to rest. Also, we see, let me give you some other scriptures for you to read. Hosea chapter 2 verses 14 through 20, and Micah 7 verses 14 and 15. And we see this is typified in the flight. This fleeing of Israel in the tribulation into the wilderness is typified in the flight of David in 2 Samuel chapter 15 verses 14 and 16 and 23. We read in Zechariah 14:5, like as you fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And of course, we read that in Zechariah. 14:5. Now, we've looked at the place of the advent, the result of the advent, the purpose of the advent. Now let's look at the manner of the advent. The manner of the advent. And we read in Zechariah 14:5, the manner of the advent. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall you reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. We read in Jude verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. We want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 33, verses 1 and 2 with me. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible declares, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, to the end, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable and holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So we see God's going to return with the body of Christ at this time, with those that are saved. I praise God for my salvation, and that I'll be returning with the Lord to put down this insurrection against Israel. The New Testament saint is promised a physical resurrection in glorified body before the return of Jesus Christ. We see this in several places. Look in Colossians. Colossians with me, chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 4, we read, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then also in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Also we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then we see the marriage supper of the Lamb precedes the return spoken of in verse 4 of Zechariah 14. Looking in Revelation chapter 19. In verses 7 through 9. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's the church. That's the bride of Christ. That's all those who believed on Christ for salvation from the day of Pentecost up into the rapture of the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the Lamb, unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And of course, this precedes the verses that we read from verse 11 in Revelations 19, verse 11 and following, where we see that the Lord returns and his saints are with him. Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb precedes the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent with his saints. Now we want to close out point number two, which we've been looking at, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, Messiah. We want to look at the time of the Advent. The time of the Advent. Going back to Zechariah 14, we see the time of the Advent in verses 6 and 7 of Zechariah 14. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah sees the day as characterized by the absence of normal light from the sun and other astronomical bodies, which will either be darkened or altered significantly. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened. And we read that in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Also, let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 29. Matthew 24, 29. In Matthew 24, 29, we read, Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Look at also with me in Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, we read in Joel chapter 2, in verse number 10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Look at also in Mark. In Mark 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse number 24. Mark 13, 24. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Going back to Joel chapter 3, verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And then we read in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation 8, and we read in verse number 12 of Revelation 8. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And then in Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then we see in Zechariah 14, verse 7, we read, At evening time it shall be light. At evening time it shall be light. We also see this in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Look in Isaiah chapter 60 with me. Isaiah chapter 60. We read in Isaiah chapter 60 in verses 19 and 20. The sun shall be no more, thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, in thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And then we read in Revelations 21, verse 23. Revelations 21, 23. Revelations 21, 23. In the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, that's capital L, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. And of course, it's talking about the New Jerusalem, amen? So then we're going to stop here. We haven't completed lesson 19. We've got one more point that we want to look at and cover, and that's the point number 3, the establishment of the Messianic Kingdom, which is covered in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. So the next time we come together, we'll continue on and finish lesson 19 and hopefully begin our last lesson, number 20.